which is to talk about the issue of fortifying food with a single micronutrient, such as vitamin A or iron, versus the benefits of fortifying food with multiple micronutrients. And then if you could also talk a little bit about how important do you think government regulatory mechanisms are in terms of the fortification levels in micronutrient-fortified foods.
Thank you, Kathy. Let me start probably with a more scientific approach to anemia. I think that normally when you talk about anemia, the first element or microelement that comes to our mind is iron. It has been proven that anemia is not only related to iron. Anemia also is related to other micronutrients that are part of it. And if you want to be effective in really combating anemia, you have to look into a series of other micronutrients to be effective. So it's not only iron. So said that, how do we make sure that a multi-micronutrient fortification is applied? In most of the case, in most of the technologies, it can be done with very less efforts. The same efforts that is needed to add iron to wheat flour is exactly the same if you have more and other components inside. From a technological point of view, and also the cost involved are not significant. So normally, if you want to be effective with the real fortification, normally it has to be done via different micronutrients and always looking into what are the deficiencies in the different groups that we want to attack. So it's much more effective from the cost-effectiveness point of view to have a multi-level or a multi-micronutrient fortification that only looking into one ingredient. And because in doing this, the probability of success of addressing issues like anemia are much higher. When it comes to the second part of your question on the role from the government and in making compulsory the fortification, it's a very important role in order to establish the correct rules. But having a regulatory framework is not the answer. Much more important than that is really how to make sure that not only the food is fortified, but is fortified with the correct micronutrients. What we have seen from time to time is that food companies are adding the wrong micronutrient form, and this is absolutely not effective. So it's just investing in something that is not absorbed, that is not bioavailable. So quality is something very important when you talk about doing the effort of adding the elements. So it's already very important to add the micronutrients to the food, but much more important is to have the right quality. And in this sense, the governments, they play a very important role in analyzing and checking if the food companies are doing the right thing when it comes to quality.
So I think we come back to the issue of we know the basics of the what, but get tripped up on the how. So moving from that point, everybody heard the breastfeeding message, but the what was absorbed, but how about the how? How realistic really is it for a woman to exclusively breastfeed for the first 6 months of life? So Tommy, if you can come back to that, it's an ideal. Is it real? What's the biggest challenge to it happening?
Two big challenges. First is lack of information. Not only the community, but us, health personnel and health facility. We know so less about breastfeeding, and we never know. We never think that we have to learn. We, as a health provider, in my experience, if only we tell them about breastfeeding long before delivery, a lot of people can do that. My two granddaughter and my granddaughter and grandson. They both are the initiation, even though one is a cesarean section. And both of them now, my daughter-in-law, they never give any formula at all. They are working mother.
But why do mothers start using formula too early?
Because the first is that. Because the knowledge, they didn't train us when we were in medical school or midwifery school. I think it's so. The second is, this is the losing battle. Aggressive promotion of breast milk substitute company, advertising and incentive to us help provider and health facility. Then there's none in my country. There's not. There's the code is. It seems like there's no code at all.
And just for the benefit of the group, it's the international code for the marketing of breast milk substitutes.
That's why, if only there is somebody in the floor who can help us to marketing breast milk, the same like marketing substitute, it will be very, very helpful for us. And Vanita just asked me, but we are too poor, India too poor. Comparing with India, we are the same poor. But because start from the very beginning, they already gave breast milk. So what happened? Because they cannot afford to buy, what they do? Diluting the milk. Diluting the breast, the formula. And what happened? Malnutrition. And die. That's the point. We really need somebody who can fund it us to marketing breast milk.
Which comes back to the issue of supply and demand. There is the supply, and it's how do you create a realistic demand. There's been a lot of talk in the last 2 days about the increase in food prices and the devastating effect that's having on hunger and malnutrition in the world. If you're a bit of a Pollyanna, you say there's an opportunity in every crisis. Right now, the world is looking at food. They're looking at the quantity of food. They're looking at the price of food. Vanita, is there an opportunity in this crisis to broaden that focus and look at the quality of food?
Oh, absolutely. I think this is, given the saliency that the food crisis has right now, and, given that, every country around the world is talking about it in some manner or another, I think it is a very good opportunistic time to really talk about it's not just anything that fills your stomach. It is about good food. It's about good quality of food. And especially in the context of the fact that a lot of people, who cannot afford food, who did not afford food in the first place and can afford it even less right now, actually need good food the most. And therefore, a lot of legislation, whether it is, what Mauricio referred to earlier about fortifying basic foods, there's enough evidence that the world has to say that if you were to fortify basic, grains or rice with iron or other micronutrients, you're attacking not just the problem of hunger, but you're also attacking the problem of health and nutrition, which actually, in a way, are quite asymptomatic. The reason why everybody is talking about food right now is because it is a crisis. It is a significant problem which is tangible, which everybody can see. We can see the rising prices, and therefore it is called a crisis, and everybody talks about it, and there is some action that follows. Health and nutrition are silent killers. They are asymptomatic. You don't really realize what is going on till the problem has become quite significant. And therefore, I truly believe that this is a great opportunity to focus the attention of the world, not just on any food, but on food that is good for you.
Great. Let's start hearing back from what you guys came up with. Tom, are you ready with the themes and gems? Diamonds? One more question? All right. One of the questions that came up a lot that we started to tackle, but I guess there's still more that people wanted to hear about, was back to the private sector and how to help deliver nutritious foods and supplements to those people who are at the very bottom of the pyramid. Now, Vanita spoke about that in terms of private sector responsibility rather than a charity or a public sector approach. Do either of you want to talk more about that?
We talked this morning about most countries having a program of feeding children who come to school. Let me talk about India. The government has a program that feeds 120 million children every day. And the opportunity in that is that if these 120 million children are not just getting any food, but food that is good for them, food that is macro as well as micronutrients, you could significantly change the nutrition and health profile of children. 50% of the world's malnourished children live in India, and 48% of children less than 5 years are malnourished in India. Now, those are some pretty daunting statistics. But the fact is that we do have access to a lot of those children. There are 120 billion children who are receiving food, but if we could make that food, and as we know, the cost of that, and there's a lot of work that GAIN has done, and Mauricio has talked about it from a DSM perspective, the cost of doing that is not that great. The funds are available. It is really a matter of, you know, the political will and getting the private sector and the NGOs working collaboratively to make that happen. Mauricio.
If I may, I think that recently most of the big food companies have been addressing the situation on how to get effective to the base of the pyramid. But there is still a struggle within the big food companies because they don't know exactly what is the right business model to address this effectively. Because the business model they are used to is very different from what you have to do when it comes to the base of the pyramid. Fortunately, I think that there are initiatives where NGOs and also our company is involved in order to get going with a sustainable business model, because it's a completely different approach if you want to address this kind of basis of pyramid malnutrition issues. Cannot be the same approach that we have in developed countries. There is no Walmart as a place to distribute the food. But the willingness of the leaders of the food companies, what I have seen lately, has been changed. And there are a lot of commitment in get going, but there will be a little bit more time in order to learn how this business model will work.
Well, even at the end of a long day, the room still managed to come up with a number of really interesting ideas. So on the theme side, these were some of the themes that emerged. First of all, to develop lactation training for mothers at school. And then there was a lot of interest in the question about how you help make mothers make the transition from breast milk to other foods starting at 6 months, and a need for greater integration of nutrition into existing child survival and maternal health programs and policies. In terms of some of the specific suggestions, one idea was picking up on the theme of the mother and baby-friendly workplace to maybe start with a focus on companies that have global supply chains. So particularly if you look at Asia, for example, a lot of the workforce for export intensive, labor-intensive export sectors such as shoes and apparel, a large part of it is a 18 to 24-year-old young women of childbearing age. An interest in shifting the focus of metrics from growth and weight to cognitive impacts as a way of making the issue more dramatic. To develop a code of conduct for developing and marketing fortified complementary foods. The existing code focuses on what companies can't do, and a code of conduct like this might outline some areas of ethical behavior as well. There was a lot of interest in this theme of using the food crisis as an opportunity to raise a profile of nutrition issues on the global agenda so that there's a focus not only on price and quantity, which is how the debate is traditionally framed, but also addressing quality issues. Creating a certification also for fortification of foods in countries where it does not exist, and also support for Tommy's notion of social marketing for breastfeeding. And I'll just identify one idea that I've come across about how CGI might be able to help make something like that happen. There's one NGO in this field that arranges for barter arrangements between developed and developing country media institutions. So the developed country radio and TV companies will come in and provide technical assistance to help their developing country, counterparts modernize their operations and gain market share. And in exchange, the developing country radio and TV stations have to agree to make a certain amount of time available for, radio call-in shows, public service announcements during prime time as opposed to 2 a.m. in the morning when nobody is watching. And that's a really interesting way for lowering the cost of doing some of these social marketing efforts. So if you want to give the opportunity for the panelists to respond to any of those ideas or offer any last-minute comments or suggestions, thank you.
And what I'd like to do is drill down on one of the gems that came out about shifting the focus of metrics from growth and weight to cognitive impacts, but step back a step from that, because one of the things I was impressed by in the panel's responses was that all of you had hard statistics. All of you had data to back up what you were saying. And this is my prejudice showing, even the cookie company could say the improved nutrition levels in the people who were consuming your product. So I want to ask you each very briefly in the minutes that remain to talk about what's motivated you to get that data and what more could you be doing to raise the policy agenda even higher with the kind of statistics you're gathering. We start at the end.
Here you go. Again in the spotlight. Thank you. Probably, if you don't mind, I would like to change a bit of the answer and the tone, because I think we are facing a tremendous opportunity, and that has been addressed by Vinita, is in regards to the food crisis. There is now a unique opportunity, if we do it correct, and I think here the NGOs play an important role, in addressing the nutritional quality of the food. Instead of quantity, let's talk about quality. And okay, the food crisis is here, but the food crisis will go away. But if you can use this opportunity, or every time you have a crisis, you have an opportunity. But if you can use this opportunity to elevate the nutritional quality of the foods that have been distributed around and consumed around the world, I think there is something that we can contribute to a much better nutrition for the population in the globe.
Thanks, Vinita.
I think the motivation for metrics in many ways is hardwired into the private sector. But even more importantly than that, I think as companies do more and more of what is not traditionally considered to be their business, I think there is greater, not less, need for data to actually convince yourself that where you are investing the money or where you're investing the shareholder dollars is actually the right place to invest. And I think that is what starts it. But in my experience, what works really well is that once you've got data which is convincing, even the cynics buy into the proposition, and it is a great way of building consensus, commitment, collaboration, and involvement, and galvanizing a larger community of people to participate in the idea itself.
And Utami, do you want to comment on that, or is there one of these gems that you'd like to respond to?
Breastfeeding, yes. This is good. I'm very excited with this. So I just one comment and just breastfeeding, yes. Maybe a little bit one because my country is so many emergency situations there. I just want to ask you, please don't send formula in emergency situation. You can only kill the baby. Feed the mother. Let the mother feed their babies. Please don't just in tsunami, in earthquake. Please, you are the donor. Please don't send our baby formula. Because it's so difficult to have clean water, difficult to have fuel. You only kill the babies. Thank you.
Now she can tell us what she really feels about that. Thank you all very much. I'm going to turn it back to Tom for a few more call-outs.
Well, first of all, I want to ask everyone to join me in thanking our moderator and our panelists for a fantastic job. And I know it's difficult to get up for a 7:45 a.m. session tomorrow morning, but I wanted to tell you that we have Peter Piot, former President Sampaio, and Anil Soni, the president of the Clinton HIV/AIDS Initiative, you know, clearly three of the central players dealing with AIDS, TB, and malaria. And so I'd urge you to see if you can get up and participate in the breakfast. And then we also have our last working group session on safe drinking water and sanitation. So look forward to seeing you tomorrow. Thank you very much.